ESPN college football analyst Alex Scarborough, welcome inside the game. I hope you're doing well, man. Welcome in.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, it's good. It's been a very emotional last couple of days for this Bama Nation. They celebrate a big win. Your analysis of Alabama, Texas A&M.
Oh, man, it was not what I expected. It was a...
Oh, come on, Alex. Are you sure you didn't have this score?
I'm positive.
Okay.
I picked Alabama, but there's no way I thought it would be that thorough of a beatdown. That was the most complete performance they've had this year, bar none. People go back to that Florida game and thought, well, man, it can't get much better than that. And then the defense decides it wants to do its part, and the offense commits zero penalties, runs the football, just controls the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. That's I think Nick Saban was struggling to find something to worry about, because it was that complete a game.
And I've went back and I've watched it, and I've tried to look at things that were negative, and I'm not able to find some. I mean, yeah, they missed some assignments, some maybe some blocks, or they had to punt once. But I mean, at the end of the day, it you have to search to try to find something. You would almost think that would be a little bit of a hard scenario for Nick Saban to come up with. What does he call it? The good, the bad, the ugly. Help me out with the bad and the ugly, because I'm not able to find it.
The only thing I remember is very early on there was one pass that probably should have been intercepted.
Great point.
Sims. But the bad and the ugly belonged to Texas A&M. That was, you know, I tried to take a little bit of a conference-wide perspective on it, and it was hard to watch how bad they were. And you got to tip your cap to Alabama, of course. You know, they're the ones who forced the action. But, you know, A&M just at the line of scrimmage, they couldn't hang, and they quit early on in that game. And, you know, as a coach, I don't know how Kevin Sumlin could stomach that. I know he's had some pretty strong words post-game and again on, I think today he said earlier, about just trying to get back on track. They've got a lot of work to do. But if you're following Alabama, if you're an Alabama fan, you've got a lot to feel good about.
Do you think it was going back to Nick Saban going out there and standing up for his team? What was the change? What was the turnaround? Maybe it was just an alarm clock that went off in Fayetteville, Arkansas, that they came that close to losing to the Razorbacks.
I think it's a lot of different things. I think your point about almost losing to Arkansas should have woken them up, and the criticism afterwards. It's something I'm sure that fueled them. I think playing with energy, playing with attitude, that has its part, and I think that did play a role in how solid they were, because they really were flying to football. But I think the thing that you have to look at and say, okay, their two worst performances were both on the road. They played very well at home, and I think communication is something that I think is much easier when you're at home. And we've talked about this. Lane Kiffin's biggest positive about being on the sideline is he can sit there and basically make the checks at the line of scrimmage for Blake Sims, and he can get him in and out of, you know, bad plays. And I think when you do that, it makes a huge difference. It's just a lot harder to do on the road. So I think coming home after everything that happened, having the extra motivation and having a little bit of home cooking with the crowd doing what you want it to do, I think all of that kind of came together, and obviously everything clicked.
Offensively, I don't think anybody sort of expected that, because or maybe they did more expect that because the defensive side of the football for the Aggies are not one of their strong points. But defensively for Alabama, that's really a complete game. And I have to go back in memory and think about games that I could put that in to contrast to. But top offense in college football, number three, top in the SEC, and you gave them the goose egg. That's a huge victory for the defense.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, you look at Kenny Hill's numbers, and a lot of that was just earned in garbage time at the end. They forced three and out after three and out. The secondary played about as good a game as I thought they could. And it's another step in the right direction for Alabama. They, you know, the most impressive thing to me, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, the way they won up front and the way that defensive line got after Kenny Hill and just didn't let them have any success in the running game, that set the tone. And we talked about this before the season ever started. If the secondary is going to look a lot better when you have a defense that's going to get after the quarterback and have six sacks in a game, I mean, when you do that, you're going to win a lot of football games. You're going to look very good doing it. So to me, those are the big takeaways. Defensive line, linebacker, Reggie Ragland. It was top to bottom. Just very solid up front.
As we break down this Tennessee-Alabama game, we talk about the line of scrimmage that performed so well against Texas A&M, and let's see if they can carry it forward as they approach the final five games of the season. But as we look at Tennessee, I was crunching some numbers, and we had a guest that even mentioned as well. Right now, Tennessee has given up 30 sacks. That is 125th in college football. Only two teams worse than Tennessee, and that's SMU and Idaho. They're also last in the Southeastern Conference. That's not good when you've got a defensive line that is now on pace to break last year's set of 22 sacks for the complete 12-13 game season. Now they're at 19. The guys are finally starting to put pressure on the quarterback. That cannot be good for Tennessee. And also giving up 7 sacks against Ole Miss. So offensive line, not a strong point for Tennessee.
Oh, absolutely. And the funny thing is, every offseason, past few offseasons, we've talked about Alabama replacing one starter or two starters or even three. They had to replace every single starter on their offensive line, Tennessee did. And they weren't replacing it with a ton of, you know, veteran experienced guys who had played a lot. They were starting from scratch. And, you know, it caught up with them. It caught up with them very quickly because Justin Worley is not – he's a better-than-average quarterback when he has time to set his feet. He just never has time to do it. And I think Alabama, if they had fun – rushing against a Texas A&M offensive line that has guys who's probably going to get taken in the first 10 picks of the draft in Cedric Oboehe, they're going to have a lot of fun going up against a line that's a bunch of young guys. Even though they're playing at home, they're just not used to it yet. They're still gelling. They're still figuring it out. Alabama with A'shaun Robinson, Jonathan Allen, and those guys, I have a feeling they're going to get after them. They should be licking their chops.
It's not done yet, but at this point, if the season ended right now, do you think the SEC deserves to have two teams in this college football playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any way you could keep Ole Miss and Mississippi State out of it. And those would be the two that would have to go in, obviously, the two undefeated teams. But I think the only way the SEC gets knocked off is if it just cannibalizes itself and we see both of those teams, both Ole Miss and Mississippi State, lose, and then you go into the final week with the Egg Bowl and the Iron Bowl, and then something crazy happens. Then they have to get to the SEC championship game. And it's like, you know, it's going to be very hard for it to happen the first year of the playoff. And I think the politics in it, it's going to be very difficult for one conference to get multiple teams in. But if it ended right now, there's no way you can look at three teams in the top five or whatever it is and say, you know, we're not going to get two of them in. The quality wins are there. You know, Mississippi State's beaten, what, three top 10 teams. Ole Miss has beaten Alabama, and everything they've done. I just can't see them, even though the politics would be tough against it. If it keeps going this direction, they have to get through it.
That's where the meltdown would begin. We're going to have to depend on you to advocate on ESPN.com. College football analyst right now, Alex Scarborough, who covers the SEC for ESPN, really focuses in on the Crimson Tide. Let me go to this Tennessee game for a couple of more minutes. What type of score are you seeing? What do you think with this? I mean, they've been energized the first 2 days of practice this week. It's a rivalry game. It means something to both fan bases. Lane Kiffin's return to Knoxville has been a conversation piece. What do you see as far score-wise in this game?
I think Alabama's going to have some success running the football. We talk about what they did, what Tennessee doesn't have as far as experience on the offensive line. It's the same issue over there. They've got Barnett, who's a really good pass rusher, but you negate that by running right at him. I think Alabama's going to put up some points in a hurry. I think Blake Sims is very confident right now. I think, like you said, with Lane Kiffin going back there, Nick Saban can say all he wants about how this isn't. It's only a distraction if you let it be. You know, it might not be a distraction, but it can certainly be a motivation. And I think that they're going to come out very hungry. When in another year, if this wasn't his first time back, maybe that extra motivation isn't there. I think Alabama is just too physical, too experienced on both sides of the ball. The matchups just don't favor Tennessee to me. I think they come out quickly. I think they put it away quickly. And I think it's a bit of a barn burner.
They're up three touchdowns late in the football game. Does Lane Kiffin stomp the gas?
I don't know if Nick would let him. I don't know if he'd let him. He might want to, but you know, it was his decision to leave. It wasn't them forcing him out. If he did that, the meltdown following that would be unbelievable. I imagine Nick would just say, you know, hang the headset up, go sit on the bench, enjoy yourself. We'll run it from here. Don't worry about it.